Habakkuk chapter 2, 956 in Schofield. I'm going to read the first few verses here. Last week we talked about the importance of running after we've been given the vision and how important that is that we run and the urgency and the priority and the purpose of running. This week we're going to look at verse number 4, a very well-known verse. A verse that was often repeated in the New Testament. It was referenced, I think, three different times in the New Testament, this verse was. So it's an important verse, and we're going to look at that this morning. Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us. Thank you for the safety that you give us on the buses, Lord, even though had some mechanical problems, Lord. You worked everything out, Lord. The bus had 4 first-time visitors, Lord. They were here pretty much on time. And, God, you just it's amazing how you just show your mercy, your grace. And, Lord, we don't understand everything all the time. But, Lord, I pray that you just help us to accept things and be grateful for what you do give us. And thank you for the folks that are here this morning. Lord, I do pray for those that aren't here. Lord, I know some are out because of health, and Sister Donna had surgery. And Lord, I pray that just others, and for Brother John, and just many others, Lord, that may not be able to be here this morning. And I pray, God, that you just bless them and help them. And Lord, I know the winter months, and as the weather gets cooler, it's sometimes harder for our senior saints to get out. And Lord, I pray that you just watch over them, protect them, be with them. Lord, help us as we look at your word this morning, and about this subject of living by faith. And God, I pray that you just help us to be able to apply things to our lives. Give me the words that I should say, Lord. I want to honor you. I want to only say what you would have me to say. We'll give you praise and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. This statement, the just shall live by his faith. And that's a verse that is common. It's a verse that's well known. All right, that the just shall live by his faith. And you say, well, what does that mean? You know, who is a just person? All right, well, I believe that the Bible tells us that the just person is somebody that is saved. All right, we see that Lot in the New Testament, the Bible called him just Lot. So it's somebody that is saved, it's somebody that is a child of God. But there is a difference. The Bible says here, the just shall live by his faith. All right, it's not just about making a one-time decision that makes a person, yes, it's you do get saved, and that is a one-time thing. I tell people all the time, when I became a child of Jack Gordon, there's nothing that can change that fact. Absolutely nothing. Okay? I am his child. Now, I can do things that aren't right. I can do things that would be against the law, and it would disappoint him, but I'm still his child. No matter what I do, I'm still his child. And when I become a child of God, I'm his child forever. All right? And that's a blessing. That's a security thing, and that is a blessing. Is God always happy with me? No. God is not always happy with me. And I want to live my life to serve God. I want to live my life to please God. But the Bible says something interesting, is that the just shall live by his faith. He shall live by his faith. Now we're going to go through several passages, and me and Brother Levi were actually talking about this morning on the bus, and I've referenced it previously and a couple weeks ago. But we're going to look at this, the subject of living by faith. Living by faith. What is living by faith? Is it not having any money in your bank account, so every meal you pray for your meal and hope God provides it? No, that's not living by faith. That's being foolhardy with what God's given you, I think. because in America, honestly, we've been blessed to the point that, unless you're just unwise, with your money, all right? Most of us don't have to pray, and I hate to say this, but most of us don't have to wonder where our next meal is coming from. Now, are there times, and probably in the Christian life, are there times that you wonder where the money's coming from? Absolutely. I've been there. It's not like we have, $60,000, $100,000 sitting in the bank that's just like, you just live off that. No. We still, as Christians, we live by faith, all right? And that is, what is that? How can you define that further? You know, faith for a lot of people is some mystical, out of touch, out of sense, all right? They don't really understand what faith is. So I want to give you some very practical things this morning about what faith is, and give you some Bible illustrations, give you some very practical things about what really is faith. Because, the Bible said, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's go to Hebrews. Most people recognize this. Hebrews chapter number 11. So the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is, everybody knows it as the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to look at the importance of faith and what is faith. All right. So Hebrews chapter number 11, we're going to look at verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And this is the instance of Enoch, the man that walked with God and was translated, and he didn't ever see death. Okay. And it says something interesting in verse number 6. The Bible says, but without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who is him? It's talking about God here. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, it's very important here. Everybody has this idea of, I'm just going to live by faith. Well, what is faith? What is faith? The Bible says, now faith, verse number 1, you're in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is something that you can see, this pulpit. It's a material thing, all right? Faith is something that you can't see, but faith is something that you can practice. Now, what do you mean by that, all right? So I'm going to show you some things here. Look at Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at verse 38. Now, we just came from Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 4. The Bible, in that it said, the just shall live by his faith. Verse number 38 in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, the just shall live by what? Faith. It's a reiteration of what was quoted in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. All the way over in Hebrews. And then it goes into Hebrews chapter number 11 and gives all of these illustrations of people that lived by faith. It's not just a one-time decision, it's a lifestyle of faith. All right, so we're given all these examples of people that have lived by faith. Well, Brother Chad, you keep saying, what is faith? What's a very practical illustration of faith? And what is not faith? What is not faith? All right, this is, I'm going to give this to you this morning as kind of what faith is. Faith is doing what God asks in anticipation of what he promised. It's doing what God asked in anticipation of what he promised. Now, say, Brother Chad, what is this? Okay, now I'm going to show you out of the Bible what this is. Because if you live a life of faith, you obey the commandments of God. All right? And why do you obey the commandments of God? Because, and I'm just going to say this. You know why Christians obey, why we obey the commandments of God? Is for the benefits that God gives us as a result of obeying the commandments of God. Okay, why else would why else would you tithe? Give 10% or more of all your income. Why would you do that? That makes no financial sense. Because of the benefits that God promised, okay? That God said, okay, if you do this, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. I'm going to open the windows of heaven. That's why we do that, because of the benefits. But it's interesting. Faith is something that we have to take the first step. All right, now that's what I'm basically trying to tell you. You have to take the first step. You have to do what God asks first. And then God will say, all right, here. Okay? We're going to look at this. Verse number 4, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. I'm going to skip down through some of these, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. The Bible says, by faith, Abel, what? Offered unto God. Why did he offer this unto God? Or remember I talked, I think, four weeks ago about the sacrifices. What was the whole purpose of the sacrifice? They were looking forward to a promise that God gave them. Okay? The purpose of Abraham, God promised Abraham the seed as the stars of the sky. And then he said, Abraham, do you believe me? Abraham said, yes, I believe you. Well, I want you to give what you have right now. He had to take the first step. And then God said later on, he said, Abraham, do you believe that I'll give you seed as the stars of the heavens? Abraham said, yes, I do. And he said, I want you to give your son. Well, what did he have to do first? He had to take that first step and said, God said, I'll give you all this, but I want you to give me what you have first. If we never give God first, we'll never see the benefits of salvation, of what God can give to us. So faith, by faith, Abel offered unto God. Look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and did what? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know, God came to Noah and said, all right, I'm going to send the flood, and the only way to save your family is to build an ark. Did Abraham see the flood before this point? Did Abraham have any inclination that there would ever be? You know, I believe up to this point, you know, I don't know that they ever knew what rain even was. I mean, the Bible just talks about everything was watered every morning, like with a dew. What's rain? Okay? What is that? I don't know what that is, but I'm going to trust God that God promised that he's going to send something. And I'm going to do what God said in order to prepare myself. What if Noah said, oh, I don't believe that? He wouldn't have had the blessing of God. He wouldn't have been able to save his family. Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obey. And he went out not knowing whither he went. God just said, all right, you're going to have this as a, I'm going to give you an inheritance, but I want you to leave. Where are we going? Just go. Okay? Well, what is that? That's faith. You're doing what God asked in anticipation of what he promised. All right? And we see there in several things. By faith, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, that heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then it talks about the things that he had. By faith, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Isn't that amazing? A man that had so much faith that he said, all right, God promised me my seed through this son, Isaac. And if God wants me to offer him up, I have enough. I believe that if I offer him up as a sacrifice and I go through the steps, that if I do kill him and he does die, God will raise him up again and my seed will still come from him. What is that? That's taking a step of faith, all right? That's trusting God and doing what God asks in anticipation of what he promised, all right? We can keep going down through this chapter, and we can look at all of these different heroes. The Bible calls them the heroes of faith, but all of them are the same thing. God says, I want you to do this in anticipation of what I'm going to do. Do this in anticipation of what I'm going to do. And that is living a life of faith, very simply. That's living a life of faith. It's when God says, I want you to be involved in this. Well, I don't understand how that's going to work. I want you to go here. You know, for our young people, and I know everybody pretty much in here, you've lived a lot of your life. But that's not to say that if God didn't come to you and said, I want you to do this, what's a life of faith? God, I don't know what you're talking about. But if you lay on my heart to do this, I'm going to do it. All right? It's giving. You know, there's many times in my heart that preacher will say something or a need will come up in a church family, and God lays on my heart, I want you to give that. Well, God, I don't have that. I don't have the extra this month to give them. But you know what? It's amazing that if I simply obey, how God says, all right, here's this extra. Here's what you need, not only to take, and it, God's so abundant in his mercy and his grace and his goodness. God not only, okay, let's say God says, I want you to give an extra $100 to this thing that is going on at church. Well, God, I ain't got an extra $100 I can give this month. It's not there. I want you to give it. God, it's not there. I don't have it this month. Just do it. Okay, I'll do it. And then it's amazing. And I'm not kidding you. It's amazing. When you take a little step of faith and God says, all right, you did that. Here's another job or a side job or, you know, a bill that you thought was coming due and, you know, I've had this happen. I've got letters in the mail before. We'll have a doctor bill or something, and the whole thing has been written off. Well, okay, my son just had a surgery. All right, my son just had a surgery. Well, it'd been almost a month ago, I guess. Okay, he had surgery a month ago. $20,000 plus is what they, which is ridiculous. They just throw numbers around anymore. That's not real money. They just throw numbers around. But it was over $20,000. We didn't have to pay a penny. They wrote the whole thing off. Well, that never happens to me. Well, listen, I'm not saying I have very little faith. And there's many times that God asked me, and I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a lot of times God asked me to do stuff that I don't do. I don't do. But because of that, I many times don't see the blessings that could have come. And it's not just that God says, if I ask you to give $100, I'll give you $100. You know what almost always happens? Is if God says, I want you to give an extra $100, God gives me an extra $150. Okay? God's not stingy. All right? God asked Abraham, listen to this. God asked Abraham for a ram. I love that story. I've been eat up with that. God asked Abraham for a ram, a heifer, a she-goat, a turtle dove, and a pigeon for an inheritance that would surpass the number of stars in the sky. That's all God asked of him. But so many times as a Christian, myself, yeah, but God, that's my best heifer. that's my best. And I'm not willing to give up the little things I have, okay, in anticipation of the great things that God has. All right? That's what faith is. It's giving up the little things. Remember I had the dumb suckers up here, okay? I think it was up here. I don't remember. I've taught that a couple times. But, you know, God gives, we won't give up our Dixie cup full of whatever in anticipation of, but what if God never gives us that? Okay, at most I lost a Dixie cup full. And God says, but you know what? God still You know what Abraham is still today? Abraham has never yet completely seen the fulfillment of God's promise. It's still being fulfilled today. There are Hebrew children being born today. Today there will be Hebrew children born. And God and Abraham is still being blessed by God. And that whole nation has been blessed by God because of one man's decision to give up five little animals. But you didn't, what about his son? Yeah. And if he would have given up his son, one son, for millions of people, of a seed, what if he would have kept his one son? I think God would have chosen a different person. If Abraham wouldn't have given up his son, God would have chosen a different person. And you know, I don't want, and this is so hard for our young people. You see some people going down a certain path, all right? You have all seen them. You know, my dad did youth ministry. You know, he was youth leader when Pastor Jerry was in the youth group, okay? He's seen scores of young people go down the path where they want to hold on to all the little things, all right? They don't want to do what God asks of them. And because of that, they've jeopardized their whole future. Not just their future. Remember, Abraham is not yet seeing the fulfillment of the promise. In the same way, what about all the other people that didn't give what God asked? They too have yet to see the fulfillment of everything that that one choice will cost them and their family. And it's just this vicious cycle and just keeps going and going and going. All right? What is this? It's one person that says, I'm going to do what God asked in anticipation of what God promised. All right? Go to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So we see in a very practical way, this can be applied to many, many areas of our lives. Okay? Well, Brother Chad, I just want to experience the grace of God. You know, that sounds real spiritual. Okay? I do too. And I'm thankful for the grace of God. But you know, the interesting thing about really being able to understand the grace of God is that you must be put in a situation where the grace of God must become very real. Now, I want to show you this. Matthew chapter number 11. What is that? Well, I'm trusting God that he'll give me what I need. Okay? Well, you know, sometimes that means you got to go through hard times. All right? Now, let me show you this. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Remember, what is faith? All right? I gave you kind of Brother Chad's verbal, what I kind of feel as what faith is. What is faith? Doing what God asked in anticipation of what he promised. So, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I want you to look at this. The Bible says, come unto me. That's the first step. Come unto me. So, I got to go to God. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does God give rest to those that don't come to him? No. What do we have to do if we want rest? Go to God. It requires a step on our part to go to God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, what did he ask? He said, I want you to take my yoke. Now, what is a yoke? It's something that you would couple an ox, a team of oxen together, a team of horses together to pull a load. So God says, I want you to take this burden. Take this thing that you have to carry, all right? Why? And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, sometimes we wonder, why did I have to go through this? You know, we see family that sometimes goes through hard times. You know, sickness or death or whatever it is. Sometimes we don't understand, well, why did they have to go through that? All right? What, you know, and I understand that the trials of life, that God sends those things. But what does God send those trials of life in our lives to do? To drive us to Him. That's what they're for. Okay? To make us better. And you say, well, I don't understand how that person can have so much grace. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, I would fall apart if that happened to me. And, you know, the thing is, listen, you don't have to go through that. So you don't have to have the grace for that. All right? But what does it still require? It still requires me coming to God. And what does that, God says, here, take my yoke. But I'm already burdened down. I'm already weighted down with all this stuff. What did it say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I've already got too much. I can't do any more. And God says, I want you to do this. Do what? Take my yoke. But God, I've got too much. I can't bear anymore. I can't take it anymore. I can't take any more stress. I can't take any more burdens. I'm just being overwhelmed. Okay, whether it be family members or whatever it is, family situation, I am being overwhelmed. And God says, take this. What? Take another yoke? I'm already carrying too much. Take it. You know, I don't know. I wonder if there's times in life that God says, God knows where we are. And God says, I know that you're going through a lot right now. But I want you to do one more thing for me. God, I ain't got time to do that. I can't do that. Take my yoke. Oh, God, I came to you for rest, God, and you're giving me another yoke. I can't do it. God says, okay. All right. But you know a yoke, what's a yoke for? I mean, you put it on so you can pull things, so you can bear a load, okay? And God says, all right, I know you're under a lot of stress. You're under a lot of pressure right now. Things aren't going right in whatever. But here, I want you to do this for me. Okay? You know, the weeks that it seems like I have no time are always, inevitably. Oh, okay, for this instance. Okay, I've got scheduled. I'm going to be gone 3 days this week. All right? And then we've got a transmission that's out on a bus. So you know what? We got to get that fixed before next Sunday. All right? It's like, I don't have any more time to do this. But God says, all right, I want you. And you know, inevitably, I guarantee you, something else in the next 3 days, because this is the way it works, at least in my life, something else in the next 3 days will say, I need your attention. Something else that God sends. I'm not talking about the world, because the world's always going to throw junk at you. And you just got to say no. That's not what I do. But at some point, you just got to say, all right, God, I'm going to put what you asked me to do first. I'm going to take your yoke. And you know what the promise is? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. When will you find rest unto your souls? After you take his yoke. All right? His yoke. And you're going to find, as verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It makes everything. You know, it's almost like God says, all right, you get in the harness with me. God, I can't handle anymore. Just do it. And you start pulling and you start doing what God asks. And God says, all right. And then he pulls right alongside of you. And then he makes that burden easy. And he makes that yoke light. All right? Why? First of all, you got to come to God. Then you got to take the yoke that God, I can't take anymore. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I can't take it anymore. What has God asked you to do that we just can't seem that we are willing to do? All right? What is that? How does that apply? That's a step of faith. That's saying, all right, God, I'm trusting that if I go ahead and do this, you'll make it easier for me over here. Brother Chad, what is faith? My son Micah, he's been recently going with me to work whenever I can handle both things. He'll sit in the front seat of my truck, and when I get out of the front seat of my truck, he'll come over, and he stands right there on the edge of my seat on my truck, okay? And he never even asked me. He's never like, "Daddy, catch me." I just have to be prepared, okay? And, I mean, he'll stand there, and as soon as I turn around, I'm like, you know, I'll turn around and say, "Mike, are you ready?" He jumps, and I gotta be ready to catch him. You say, what is, you know, the Bible talks about that, the faith as a child. That is very much what faith is. But what is that? He anticipates that I'm going to catch him. Now, will there be times that possibly I don't catch him? It could happen. But you know, God, and also, what is faith? It's us jumping out, just anticipating that our Father up in heaven's going to catch us. That's what faith is. But you can't ever know, though, that God, that, you know, when Micah jumps out, he never really does know that you're going to catch him. Exactly. But you know what it is? It's faith that my daddy's going to catch me. My daddy's going to catch me. And you know, that's very much what faith is for a Christian. It's not just about, you know what salvation is? Salvation is truly and completely believing that Jesus Christ is your only way to heaven. And you jump by faith. What is that? Okay, faith for Micah is doing something in anticipation that I'm going to be there to catch him. That's what faith is. Okay? As a child doesn't always understand, and they don't need to understand, the why of everything. Okay? Now, at some point, you know, for our young people, our teenagers, we work very hard. You know, they've been taught, and I taught this some on Wednesday. You know, we teach them their whole life, you know, you shouldn't drink. Alcohol's wrong. This and this and this and this. You shouldn't do that. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. But at some point, you also have to pull everything back and say, this is why it's bad. But you know, for many people, we just need to accept things by faith. And you know, for a young person, it's hard when you come to that place when somebody says, all right, you're getting ready to graduate high school. Now, this doesn't make sense, but I just want you to jump. Well, what? You want me to go to Bible college? You want me to just, you know, what about my career? Just trust God. I don't think anybody that has ever trusted God completely, I know it's true. Nobody that has ever trusted God completely has ever failed in what God has asked them to do. You know, the people that fail are the ones that don't commit. What if I'm standing, okay? What if I'm standing 5 feet away from the truck, okay? My son Micah will still jump. Can he jump 5 feet? No. But I'll make up the difference. You know what causes, I've done this before. Hesitancy causes you to fall short. When you're running and you're trying to jump across something and you hesitate at the last minute, you'll always fall short. You just will. It's when you commit to it. And you know, God has never failed. He's always got his arms out. and he's always, always been there. Brother Chad, I can't bear this burden, and they've asked me to do something else. Just do it. Just do it. And God never, never will hesitate to give you the strength that you need to go through that trial. It amazes me some of the things that our church family goes through, and I look at them and like, how can they deal with that? How can they go through that? I'm talking about crazy things. And it's not just health. A lot of times it's health things and we don't understand. Sometimes it's family things. God, why are you doing that? Listen, it's maybe it's because God wants us to come unto him and take something else that we don't really understand, or give to him something that, God, I don't understand why you want this, but I'm going to give it to you. Abraham, I'm sure, when he stood on top of that mountain, didn't understand why God wanted his son. He said, I'm going to give it to you. You know, I think so many times we try to hold on, and I don't want to do this. I don't want to be the parent that, you know, my kids are 3, 5, and 7. I don't judge anybody that's got older kids. I don't judge anybody that's got younger kids. I don't understand what it's like to have a teenager. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't understand where people are at that have teenagers. I'm not there. I can't rightfully say that. Now, I know Bible principles, okay, that should govern and should but I'm not there. And, but you know what? I don't want to be the parent that when my kids get older, I don't allow them to go jump. I don't want to be the parent that's always got a hold of the back of their shirt and say, yeah, but I don't know if you should go serve God. What if that young person is ready to jump and I'm holding on to him and I won't let him? I'm responsible for their lack of faith. Okay? And I don't want to be that. I want to push them. Here, jump. Because God has never failed me. And I think if you'll be honest, if you've really committed and you've, you know, but Brother Chad, God, now don't give me that. God has never failed us. The only time that we fail is when we don't do what God asks. God has never failed to fulfill the promises that he has given us. Never. Where we fail is we don't come. Where we fail is we don't, by faith, offer. And then it's just a result of our decision. God's never failed us, and he never will. Abraham is still seeing results of the choices that he made by faith. But you know who else is still seeing results of choices that they made? Lot. The seed of Lot. Well, are there? Yeah, I believe there are. Seed of Lot are still reaping choices that they made. Let's go back to Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And I'm not going to get into everything, but you look at those three, okay. Honestly, you want to be truthful? Everybody's like, well, everybody came from Adam. Okay. Yeah. But more specifically, everybody came from one of three boys. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Go look at the blessings and the cursings that Noah gave to those three boys and their seed. Nations and people and cultures are still being blessed and cursed by three boys' decisions to do or to not do. Go look at it. Certain cultures have been cursed, and they're still cursed today. They still hold the same position in society that Noah said you're going to hold. It's the truth. Okay? But what did the Bible say about Shem? Blessed be the God of Shem. Who's a descendant of Shem? Abraham was a descendant of Shem. The Israelites are a descendant of Shem. And they're still... What does it go back to? Isn't it amazing how... Well, my decisions don't affect anybody else. Yes. Yes, they do. And my lack of faith is going to affect generations that follow me. But in the same way, my my ability to have faith will also affect generations to follow me. That's the importance of living, not just making one decision of faith. It's every day when God says, I want you to give me this. All right, faith is doing what God asks in anticipation of the promises that he's given. All right, let's pray. Father, we got to go. We got to hurry, Lord. Lord, I pray this would just be something that folks would take with them. God, this has been a challenge to my life. Lord, so many times I don't live by faith. I just, you know, every once in a while we make a decision that requires a little bit of faith. And Lord, then many times you ask us to give or to do something. And God, we don't want to come to you. We don't want the extra burden, Lord, that you said that we would have to take. But in order to experience your grace, we have to take the burden. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn, help us to be better as Christians, help us to realize that our decisions don't just impact us, they impact generations to come. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.